You may notice that it looks a little different up here, and that's on purpose. This is not going to be as much a time of preaching as it is us learning together. And so I'm not going to be behind a pulpit. We're just going to get into God's Word together. We talked a few weeks ago about sharing our faith, and we talked about how many times we struggle with that. We struggle to either know what to say. We struggle because of fears in our life, and we start to freak out a little bit about it. So what I want to do is just kind of discuss this. It's not going to be necessarily an open discussion, but just more, hey, let's just go through God's Word. What does it mean to share our faith? What does it mean to share Jesus? We've kind of set the stage for this over the last several studies that we've been going through. We went through just previously to our last study, a study called All In, and we talked about our love for God and how we are called to have an all-in love for God, loving God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, okay? And so we set the stage there of we need to have a love for God in this way. Prior to that study, we did a study called Marked By, and ultimately it was Marked By Love, the love that we are called to have for others. And so these two foundations, our love for God and our love for others, should propel us to want to share Jesus with others. But for some reason, we start to get worried about it. We start to freak out about sharing Jesus. And so I want to ask you this to start. There's going to be three statements up here if I can get this to work. Go ahead and advance it. It didn't advance the first time. So there's going to be three statements up here, and I want to ask you, which one of these describes you? Okay, so would you say about yourself, you are confident in your witness, or you are a confident witness who has led people to Jesus, and you train others to do the same personally? Would you say that's you, number one? Number two, you have shared the gospel more than a few times, but have yet to develop a lifestyle of witnessing, number two. Number three, you have been encouraged or trained to share Jesus, and you are normally too afraid to try. One, two, or three. You don't have to answer out loud. You may be a one, you may be a 1.5. You may be a 2.5, you may be a three, you may be a 3.5. Whatever it may be in that scale, we all fall somewhere in that scale. Whether we feel well-equipped to share Jesus, or we feel like we've heard a little bit about it, but man, I have never put this as part of my lifestyle. You know, we know the commands to share Jesus, and we'll get to those in a little while. But the reality is that 61% of believers, 61% of evangelicals have not told anybody about Jesus in the last 6 months. If Jesus is that big a part of our life, if Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, then why in the world is it that in the last 6 months, 61% of us have not told anybody about Jesus at all? Now, the statistics change a little bit towards the younger generation. Millennials actually have a higher percentage of sharing Jesus than us that are not millennials. I'm not a millennial. I'm a year outside of the millennial, so I don't reach that age group. But those younger than me have a bigger heart for sharing Jesus for some reason. But what about us? Those are not millennials. What about us? Why are we not sharing Jesus? So I did a little bit of research, and I found 9 reasons why people are not sharing or evangelizing people, 9 reasons why believers are not evangelizing. And I just want to share these with you. You may agree with these, you may not agree with these. I think chances are the 7 I share after this will be the ones that most of us agree with. They're actually reasons that we give ourselves why we can't share Jesus. But the 9 reasons why believers don't share Christ today or do not evangelize is many don't even know what evangelism is. Evangelism is sharing Christ, telling people about Jesus' death, his resurrection for you, And so that's what evangelism is. We have very few role models in evangelism today. Within the church, within our culture, there's very few. The only ones that we may have that we think of are ones who are evangelists. And we think, well, I can't do that. I'm not like that. And so it actually starts to freak us out even more. Number three, some church members aren't convinced about lostness. You're not convinced that everyone around you is even lost. There's some confusion within the church today that people are saying that, well, all people go to heaven. Well, that's not true. And so because they're not convinced of the truth of Scripture, they're not convinced of people being lost or their lostness, and so people don't share Jesus with others. Number four, some churches have provided no training whatsoever on how to share Jesus. Number five, fear of the unknown halts our efforts. I think that's what we're going to go to next in the seven reasons. Many of them deal with fears. Number six, we've gotten over our own salvation. It's become old news. At first, maybe we were really excited about salvation, but all of a sudden, it's just everything else has creeped in life, and it's just something we talk about or go to or celebrate on a Sunday. And so we've gotten over our own salvation. Number seven, pastors aren't taking the lead in evangelism. And so that's a hit on me. Am I taking the lead as a pastor in being an evangelist, or not evangelist as far as job goes, but as far as evangelizing people myself and setting that example within our church and within our culture here? Number eight, we don't really know many lost people. And we're going to actually get back to this statement in a little while, so I'm not going to dwell on that too much. But how many lost people do we really know as Christians? And number nine, we don't care about non-believers. There's been walls built up between believers and non-believers, and we're going to talk about that again in a little while. So the seven reasons we give ourselves for not sharing Christ, and I think you probably may fall into one of these. I have fallen into these. I'm not smart enough. I have definitely fallen into that before. I feel like maybe someone that I'm talking to is smarter than me, and so I think that they're going to battle with me, or they're going to go back and forth with me, and so I don't share my faith because of that. Or I think because I've heard an evangelist say, this is how you need to do it, I think, what if I do it wrong? And so I get scared about it. And so I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't want to make anybody mad. We think that we're going to make people mad if we share our faith. My friends will make fun of me. What if I share my faith and they start to make fun of Jesus, or they start to make fun of me for believing in Jesus? None of my Christian friends do it. Why should I do it if no one else does it? Back to the example. Number five, I'm not a very good Christian. And so we think because we fall and we fail and we sin that we don't have the right to share, or we shouldn't share Jesus with others. Number six, all of my friends are Christians. See that kind of coming back up again. We don't know any non-believers. All of my friends are Christians. We're going to talk about that in a little while, like I said. And number seven, I don't even know where to start. That goes back to I'm not smart enough. You know, honestly, I think we've overcomplicated sharing Jesus. I did a winter camp earlier this year, and I've heard so many different ways done to share Christ, especially while you're preaching and or just a conversation with somebody. And so though I know how to share Christ, I spent almost 2 days researching how to share Christ, because there was this fear of, what if I'm not doing it the right way? And I think Satan starts to mess with us in that way and say, hey, you don't know enough, or what if you do it wrong, or what if you say something wrong and you lead them astray? And so we have this fear that builds up in us, and we've overcomplicated witnessing to those around us. We understand that there is a call to witness. We understand that we have been instructed to witness in Scripture. But we start to freak out. But not in the right way. You know, there is some freaking out that we need to have in our lives. We need to freak out in the right way. We need to freak out about Jesus. We need to be excited about Jesus. We need to love him with everything that we are. We need to be Jesus freaks. And we need to freak out that people all around us, women, children, men, boys, girls, are dying and going to hell. That should freak us out. And so that should cause us to desire to witness. Also, what should cause us to desire to witness is the command to witness. I don't know what I pressed. That is what I pressed. The command to witness is given in Matthew 28:18-20, when Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the earth." You may think to yourself, that was a command given to disciples, not me. Why should I be someone who tells people about Jesus? Well, do you see the middle part of that verse where Jesus says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you? If Jesus commanded them this, and he taught them to teach us the command, then it is also a command to us to go and make disciples. We are commanded to be disciple makers ourselves. You see, 2 Timothy is another verse that we know. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." If God did not give me a spirit of fearfulness, and I know that I have been commanded to go and make disciples, and I know that the original call of the disciples in Matthew 4:19 was, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That was the entire goal, that they would be disciple makers. Then why in the world are we not doing it? I'm going to be combining Scripture this week it's going to be an 8-week study total. And so it's actually a book I'm reading through. It's actually called Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. And so it's designed to be a small group. And so we're going to do it as a large group together. And so I'm going to be taking God's word, combining it with many of the facts and challenges from this book, and hopefully together, learning together how in the world we can do this. How can we live lives of disciple making? How can we live lives of sharing Jesus with others without all this worry and without all this freak out? And it becomes a normal part of our outflow of our life. It's not a gimmick. It's not, hey, learn this 5-step thing that you'll forget later. It's, hey, let's just outflow Christ in our life to those around us, and let's learn this together. And so, just so you know what we're going through, if you want to pick up a copy of this, you can pick up a copy of this book. And if you want me to order you a copy, I can order you a copy. But you don't necessarily have to have it to learn along as we study together. In this book, there's a statement that says, why do we struggle so much with evangelizing? Why do we struggle so much with sharing our faith? And there's 4 statements that are made. I want to just go through these, and I think they're pretty typical statements that are pretty true statements that are made here. Most believers don't consider themselves public speakers. So, giving a set gospel presentation represents a form of public speaking more than everyday conversation. And so what we've learned throughout the years is that, hey, here's a set form of presenting the gospel. And we have this 10-step or this 5-step or this Roman road that we're told to memorize or we're told to work through. And so it becomes this set gospel presentation. And so we try to take everyday conversations to that gospel presentation. And then it becomes not a conversation, but a, hey, let me pull out my PowerPoint for you and show you what it means to accept Jesus. I got 10 steps. Don't interrupt. I got to work through these because I have them memorized. And if you stop me, it's going to throw me all off. Well, public speaking is actually like the number two fear of all adults. They don't want to speak in front of people. That's after snakes. Snakes is number one. Public speaking is number two. Heights is right in there too. So I've got a few of those covered. I actually do have a fear of public speaking, even though I do it every single week. And so this idea here of, hey, I memorized this and now I got to present it throws us off. And so we want to take the concept of sharing the gospel from a presentation to a conversation with others, an everyday conversation that you're sitting down, sharing a cup of coffee together, sitting down at a game together, riding in the car together, working with a coworker, and you can take the conversation about Jesus and present the gospel without worrying about points and worrying about, am I going to mess up? And so that's the goal of where we're going. Number two, most folks who teach evangelism training tend to be aggressive type A folks who share Christ passionately and genuinely and want others to do as well, but most people aren't wired like this, so it can be intimidating. Have you ever learned from somebody that is like one of those, was like in your face, can talk to anybody at any moment, and you think, I'm not wired that way, so how in the world can I present Christ that way? And so they're talking to everybody about Christ. They walk through the door and they've taken the conversation towards Jesus in 2 seconds. And you think, man, I want to do that. Man, I know I'm commanded to make disciples, but that is not me. So how in the world can I do that? And so it's unattainable for us because that's not our personality. And so we end up never sharing, or we end up struggling with sharing Jesus with others because we think that's how they do it and we have to be just like them. We don't have to be just like anybody. God has made us who we are with our passions and our abilities and our gifts, and he wants to use you exactly how you are, who you are, to share Jesus. You don't have to become an evangelist. Number three, many people start telling others about Jesus after salvation, after he changes their life, and then they take a training or hear a pastor and wonder if they're doing it the wrong way, so they become apprehensive, more apprehensive than bold. And so they're kind of floundering between the, should I share? Am I doing it the right way? Number four, the Christian subculture we have created today leads the vast majority of Christians to spend most of our time around saved people with little interaction with lost people. We live in Christian bubbles, which means we go to movies with believers, we have parties with believers, we do pretty much everything in our discretionary time, this extra time we may have in life, with believers. In our mastery of fellowshipping with the saints, we've lost a burden for a friendship with a sinner. But Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. And so we need to look at our lives and think, where are we at? Have we fellowshipped so much with each other as believers that we have no outside relationships with someone that does not know Christ, and adjust our time a little bit so that we can have those friendships with those that are not believers, so that we can have genuine conversations and not forced conversations with a non-believer. Okay, so going on, our goal for this study is, like I said before, it's not to teach you a process. It's not to teach you steps. It's to develop a lifestyle of sharing Jesus. And so each week we're going to go over a principle. There will be today is principle number one, and then I'm going to break down that principle into two sections. And so here, principle one is this. God created you for his glory, to advance his gospel with the gifts, talents, and opportunities he gave you. Okay? God created you for his glory, to advance his gospel with the gifts, talents, and opportunities that he gave to you. So let's break this down. You were created for his glory. That's a pretty big question. People want to know, why am I here? That's asked all the time. What is the purpose of my life? We were created to give God glory. Genesis 1:27 says we were created in his image. It says this, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. We are image bearers of the King. We are image bearers of God, and we are called to represent him to the world. Isaiah 43:7 says this, and this is talking about to display his glory. It says, everyone called by my name, and this is God speaking, everyone called by my name and created for my glory. Okay? Everyone called by my name and created for my glory. I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him. Why we were created? We are called by his name, created for his glory. 2 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. So we are meant to, as people, point to God, give God glory. And how do we give God glory the most? By pointing others to him. And we do this throughout our life, with the gifts and talents and the abilities he's given us. And that's what the second part of this principle number one says, that we have God created us for his glory, and then we see this, that to advance his gospel with the gifts and talents and opportunities he has given us. And so Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so we should walk in them. We are created by God for good works. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to walk in them. He created you just as you are. He created you with your abilities, your passions, your talents, and your opportunities. Every single one of us has different opportunities in life, and God has given you yours. And so he gave you those so that you can then give him glory through those. Matthew 5:14-16, a very familiar passage. But when you look at this imagery, this, and you connect this to the fact that God created us how we are for his glory, you realize this imagery is to point to him, as it says at the end of this passage. You are a light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, your light shines before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, we are not meant to receive salvation, to accept Christ as our Lord of our life, and then hide it. As it says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. And many times that's how we live our life. We realize God has a purpose for our life. We seek that purpose in life. We reach out for that. And many times we constantly ask, okay, God, what next? What do you want me to do now? What's the next step? What's my purpose? Well, our purpose is to give God glory throughout our life and everything that we do. And we do that by shining or by living out this Christian life around all we come in contact with. So it's not, we don't cover with a basket while we're at work, but when we're at church, we take it off and we go back and forth. We don't cover when we're with our family or our friends and then take it off when we're around Christian friends. And it's living the life for Christ in everything that we do. There's a statement that he makes in this book, and there's a quote from Martin Luther, which I think are really good quotes. But it says, do good works, do the good works you do, like living a life of character, showing compassion to the broken, and speaking openly of Jesus, out of a heart of gratitude and affection to go. You realize what God has done for you, and we've set that foundation. Remember, loving God with everything we are and loving our neighbor as ourself, loving God and being marked by love. We set that foundation. When we have that attitude and we realize what Christ has done for us, then not to receive love, but because we realize the love we have received, we want to live out our lives in gratitude to God. With our character, with our compassion, with our openly living for Jesus and sharing Jesus with those around us. Quote from Martin Luther that was really good. It says, God does not need our good works, but our neighbors do. Our neighbor does. God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. You see, we are God's plan to reach the world. He has not given us a plan B. We are plan A, and there's only a plan A to reach the world. And that is through you and me. And so he has equipped every single believer, and he has promised to be with us as we witness to everyone we witness to. And so we need to realize this so that we don't freak out, so that we don't go, man, I can't do this, putting so much pressure on ourselves. We don't need to overcomplicate the witness we are called to have. We must understand what God does when we share Jesus with others. We must understand God's work, and we must understand what we have been called to do in order to share Jesus with others. And so in order to understand God's work, we must understand that God the Father saves, God the Son died and rose again for our salvation, and God the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. We are not called to do any of these things. We cannot save someone. We are not going to die and save someone. That work has already been done, and we are not going to convict someone of their sins. This is done by God. And so to support the first two statements, we see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he, being God the Father, gave his one and only Son, God the Son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is a verse we know over and over and over. We've heard it throughout our life. And so we need to remember, though it's memorized, we need to remember that it's God who saves, that it's Jesus who came to die for our sins and pay the price for our sins. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. We are saved through Christ. And then the conviction part, and the fact that we don't have to do the conviction. John 16:8 says, when he comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the counselor, the word counselor is used in that section. John 16:8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Who's going to do the convicting? Not me, not you. God does the convicting. And so in order to not freak out about witnessing to somebody, we must understand what God does. And so just comprehend the fact that he's the one who saves. He's the one who did the work. And he's the one who convicts. and rely on God to do that. And then what is our role in this? What must we do? It didn't advance. So what is our role? We proclaim the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection as clearly as possible through both our lips and our lives. Through our lips and our lives. It's not about having all the right answers. You're going to have someone who asks you questions. Just the other day, one of my kids asked me, when did God begin? It's because we think of everything in time. And so we don't comprehend that God has always been. And we just can't grasp that. And so I tried to explain that. And still, we're not going to grasp that until we get to heaven and we understand and we see him fully. And so we only grasp part of it. And so the reality is you're not going to have answers to every question, but what you do know is that your only hope is Jesus, and their only hope is Jesus, and so you share what Jesus has done in you, and we're going to get more into that, what you share in the coming weeks. But here's the thing. We need to be faithful to the great commission we have been given. Be faithful to the great commission we have been given, and that is Matthew 28, okay? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And so we have been given this command. We've already read through that verse. And we need to do this from the perspective of the other commandment, or the great commandment of loving the Lord with everything we are and loving our neighbor as ourself. As Matthew 28, 37 through 39 says, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I would like to get to the point where, as believers, we have not a have-to attitude of I have to share Christ. I've been commanded to share Christ. I realize Matthew 28, Jesus talks about how he has all authority in heaven and earth. And so because he has all authority, he has the authority to command me to be a witness, to make disciples. We need to get to the point where we go from I have to realize that we know the one who has full authority. We know the one who has all authority in all heaven and all earth. And he saved us. And we are a child of God. So I don't have to. I get to share Jesus with those around me. And that's where I want to get. And that's where I want us to get as a church family. Where we get to share Christ with everyone we encounter. With real conversations. And not a laid out step-by-step formula. And I don't want us to freak out about sharing and have Satan make us wonder about, are you really saying it right? Are you really ready for this? But to know, man, I know what Jesus has done in my life. And so I want to share that openly with those around us like we did when we first came to know Christ. Each week we're going to end with a prayer. And I want to give you a prayer to pray this coming week. And you can write this out, and I encourage you to stick it someplace where you'll see it, whether it's on your mirror in the morning, whether it's in your car while you're driving. But I encourage you to pray this prayer. God, give me today an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. God, give me today the opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. I hope that you desire to grow in a lifestyle of sharing Jesus. I mean, that should be our heart. So I hope that is your heart, that you really do want to share Jesus with other people. And you've probably struggled with some of these same fears. I've struggled with these same fears. I've said these same things, these reasons in my own head as I've gone to witness to someone. And so we need to get past those fears and stop freaking out and just have real everyday conversations about what God has done in our life, about the salvation we have in Jesus, and not overcomplicate it. And so in the coming weeks, we'll have 7 weeks left of this. We're going to slowly work through these points. But I encourage you throughout the week to maybe take notes while we're here. This week I'll go ahead and copy these down, and I'll probably do this after each time, copy them and email them out so you have them. But I'd like to have written out the points that really stand out to you so you're not having to read through everything. Because maybe you've learned one of these things before and you go, man, I already know that, but I really needed to know that point. And so I don't want you going through the whole list of what I email out and going, man, where is that one point I needed to remember this week? If you've written it out in your notes, then you can just pop that out and go, okay, here's the prayer that I'm praying this week, and here's the reminder that I needed. Maybe you needed to know this week that it's not all on you. That it's not you who's going to save someone. It's God who's going to do that. Jesus did the work on the cross, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict, not us, and you need to learn to rely on that. Maybe you just need the reminder that God has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to give Him glory. And He has worked in your life and created you to be exactly who you are. And He calls you to be a witness for His glory to everyone around us through our good works. And so you need to start living that out. I don't know where you're at. I can only speak for myself. But I hope that every single week we'll learn a little bit more. And we'll go from, what was that one I learned, that Roman road? Or what was that step-by-step process I learned. I can't remember that one point, and so I'm not going to share. We go from that to, hey, can I just tell you what Jesus has done in my life? Can I just have a real conversation with you? And it just becomes the outflow of our life. And we realize that people aren't going to hate us. Actually, the reality is that when you share Jesus, people are more than willing to hear it. They're not going to reject you. And they're not rejecting you anyway. They're rejecting God, but they're not going to hate you. But I have friends that I've shared with that I thought they'll never accept Christ, and they didn't hate me afterwards, and we're still friends. And so remember that. And remember this week to pray this prayer: God, give me today an opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus, the wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this time that we can come and just talk about sharing You with other people. Lord, many times we overcomplicate it and we become fearful about it. And the reality is those worst fears that we may have, they're not going to come to fruition. They're not going to happen most of the time, Lord. And Lord, help us to rely on Your work. Lord, help us to rely on what You promise You're going to do. Help us to remember the call to be a witness in everything that we do, in all of our good works, to point to You, to bring You glory and honor. And Lord, that You're going to do the work, that You save. And You, Jesus, You paid the price already. So we're just telling people about that. And Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, You convict people. And so help us to rely on that. And this week, Lord, give us opportunities, even today, opportunities to speak to someone about You, Jesus. Give us wisdom to see it. And Lord, give us courage to take it. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.